Okay, we're back on.
Public hearing. I'm going to open the hearing of the chairman. Meeting of the order. Budget.
Good morning, Chairman Valenzuela, members of the board, Angela Davis, County Administrator. I am very pleased today to be able to present to you the fiscal year 2023-2024 recommended budget, and it is a balanced budget. So that is a victory. Anytime that we can have the ability to present to you a balanced budget, that is definitely a win. Yes, thumbs up, two thumbs up. And so I do want to bring to your attention, prior to me bringing up Sherry Lawson, who's the Deputy County Administrator, Chief Fiscal Officer, who will present the budget itself, I just want to make note of 3 years ago when I arrived. We actually made significant cuts. It was 25% that we were cutting in budgets. The following year, it was 10% cuts. Last year, we asked departments to maintain a status quo budget, which meant keep everything the same, folks. And thankfully, the department heads have been incredibly, just been able to be flexible and go with the flow, and we've been able to work with the county departments, which brings us to this year, where we didn't require any type of reduction. We did not require any status quo. We basically said, submit your budgets and do the best you can. And I am, again, extremely appreciative and grateful that the budget was able to be balanced by minimal impact to the county departments and their operations. And that's my goal. And so couple of the items that we did in order to balance the budget was to put into abeyance personnel requests and put into abeyance fixed asset requests that had an actual impact to the budget. So if it was cost neutral, then those requests were then processed in this budget. If they were not cost neutral, we've asked to put them in abeyance for just a few months until adopted budget, which is in September, and that allows us to close out all the books and have real-time numbers at that point in time. So we're just asking departments to just pause those requests if it was not cost neutral. And then lastly, we moved the vacant position funding to a committed account. That means that the positions are still available for departments. It's just we've moved the funding to a committed account so that that will be drawn upon as those vacant positions are being recruited for and filled. So again, I just wanted to bring that to your attention that I am over the moon because that was a goal that I wanted to achieve when I first arrived, was to be able to get to the place where we weren't constantly hurting the departments and getting to that place where we have some stable fiscal health. And I'm very confident in our future fiscal health. Disclaimer, state and federal funding, I have no control over that. So with what we have right now, again, I'm very confident. I'm very appreciative for all the county department heads, again, who have walked this walk with myself and with Sherry, especially this budget season, to arrive to this balanced budget. Also, thank you to the auditor's office, but a very special thank you to Sherry Lawson because she spent countless hours on this budget, just researching, analyzing, having discussions on how we can best reach this goal that we were able to reach, again, without the minimal impact possible to the county departments and their operations. So, as you can tell, I'm just super excited for this presentation for you today. So, Sherry, come on up and talk about the budget.
Thank you, Angela. Sherry Lawson, Deputy County Administrator, Chief Fiscal Officer. Forgive me if I re-repeat things Angela has already said. But as she mentioned, we are pleased to present a balanced budget to you today. It was a long road full of highs and lows, but we are here. We made it. The recommended budget before you today totals a little over $398 million, which includes revenues of $188.4 million and expenditures of $209.7 million. This is approximately 10% higher than the 22-23 adopted budget that was presented in September. The increase is mainly attributed to new programs that were implemented after adopted budget or new projects or programs that are going to be implemented next fiscal year, mainly non-general fund. Included in the increase is negotiated anticipated salaries and benefits increases. The general fund only increased 1.3% over adopted budget, and again, that's mainly due to increased salaries and benefits. So how do we get to a balanced budget? After all the general fund departments turned in their budgets, they were analyzed, and we projected a deficit of over $5 million. As Angela said, we discussed several different options in reducing several line items, but this year we decided to try a new approach. And what we did was we did not process new personnel requests unless they were cost neutral. We did not move forward with fixed asset requests unless those were cost neutral. And the biggest changes here is that all vacant positions funding was transferred to a committed account. So what does that mean? That means that departments who submitted salary and benefit budgets were reduced according to the funding allocated to that position, and that funding was then transferred to a committed account. It was made clear to departments, but I also wanted to make it clear to you supervisors that no department will be denied funding for those allocated positions. How that will work is after they have interviewed, after they have submitted their new hire paperwork to our office, at that time, a transfer will be initiated from the committed account back to the department's budget to fund that position through the remainder of the fiscal year. We are asking that if a department has one or more of the same position, like a building inspector, for example, if that person leaves, we're expecting the department to fill that vacant position since there is already funding in their budget versus requesting funding for one of the unfunded allocated positions. After they're fully staffed and they found that they do need to pull from this committed account, we have no problem transferring that money back into their budget to support that. I would also like to commend departments on their 6/30 year-to-date projections. If you noticed in section 4 of the budget packet, the general fund analysis, the revenue in the 6/30 year-to-date projections nearly offsets the expenditures. There is only about $392,000 difference. This is largely due to $2.7 million in savings in salaries and benefits and $1.8 million increase in the original revenue projection from adopted budget. Because the 6/30 year-to-date general fund projections were so close to being cost neutral, we were able to carry over 90% of our general fund balance to be utilized this next fiscal year. There are a few other items I'd like to highlight quickly. We were able to maintain our emergency disaster fund. So if we end up having a state or federally declared disaster, we already have funding in place to pay for that, hopefully, pay for that disaster with having minimal impact to the department's budgets. We this year established a line item to assist the county in any liability situations. All of our ARPA funding has been allocated to projects, and we are still exploring the best uses for our LATCF funding. I wanted to keep it short, sweet, to the point, so that concludes my presentation. I would like to thank Angela for her support and her hours spent listening to me and letting me bounce my ideas off of her, and to Diane's office for their support in helping make this 23-24 recommended budget a reality for you today. So with that, I will give it back to you with questions.
Well, let me go through the protocol here. You got any correspondence?
No correspondence at the clerk's level.
Any public comment on the budget?
Showing them online.
Sure. Do you want to come in as public?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So there's no rebuttals. Just get to close that part of it. Win?
I believe so. We're not doing an ordinance, so we don't need to continue it. So.
Okay. Back to the board for questions. I'll start with if you want to start. Michael.
I don't have any questions.
Me neither. You got any questions?
No.
That just shows you how good we've gotten on the questions.
Hell yeah.
Streamlining the process.
I will say this, though. And Sherry, you would know that I, consistently when I'd show up on there, I would hope my fellow supervisors come and ask pertinent questions, what have you. So I think the only one I want to ask about is our ARPA funding. How did that play into the budget process? Because we're carrying it over.
We are carrying it over. Most of the ARPA funding was allocated before the 23-24 budget. So all the projects that may have been funded through the general fund normally, like redoing roofs, doing building upgrades, there's a couple other projects that aren't coming to mind right now, so that is not impacting the general fund because ARPA is paying for it, so we're able to get those large projects out of the way. So ARPA didn't play, it played a big role in the 23-24 budget, and that general fund doesn't have to pay for certain big projects. But in future years, I'm thinking that LATCF may be that next thing that's helping the impact to general fund.
See, no further questions. Would anyone like to make a motion on the budget?
I'll move to approve.
Second.
And just to double check, make sure it's on our worksheet that it includes the resolution. Yes, it does. Okay. So Supervisor Ogren, that's a recommended motion, correct?
Yep.
And who was the second?
I was.
Thank you. All righty. Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobb?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
This is like a world record for a budget process. We should all pat ourselves on the back.
We didn't do anything.
We passed it. Then we passed it, though. Then we can get in there and nitpick it and dissect it. And
no, you provided support, and so we definitely thank
you
for your support.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we've done that before. Okay, so we're making up some time. I want to continue with the public hearing for our next item. We're talking about electric vehicle. Should be fairly straightforward, Haley.
Yep. All right. Good morning, everyone. Haley Lane, Planning Director. So a few years back, AB 1236 and AB 970 were enacted upon, which essentially required cities and counties to establish an expedited checklist and permitting process for electric vehicle charging stations. I will note, I don't see or hear about, getting calls about electric vehicles coming into the county so much. However, I do see this potentially playing out within the incorporated cities. And, to note, we do actually, the plan check and the approval for a lot of our incorporated cities. So it is important for us to be a little proactive instead of reactive and have this, process established so our cities are able to move forward should any development of EV charging stations occur within the county. Located within the staff report package is the expedited permitting checklist, which is a requirement for both of these statutes, as well as a draft ordinance. And so this is the first reading of that draft ordinance, and I will conclude my comments and happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Any correspondence from you?
None at the clerk's level.
I don't see any proponents or opponents. Public comment? This will be a continued hearing, right? So
correct.
And questions from the board? So we have
a couple of probably ignorant questions. I just recently down South County, and I saw there some new stations going in down there next to the Port of Arrowhead. Mm-hmm. They have a different brand on them. I thought these things were standardized, but are they car specific?
So, for example, Tesla is specific. So if you purchase a Tesla, you basically, purchase the program that comes with Tesla. So I know Teslas have specific chargers for those vehicles. My understanding is, for the most part, the other EV vehicles, I think, are pretty holistic in nature. But it is possible that there may be a few other, brands or models out there that have a specific charging need.
So, all this federal regulation, I can't believe there's not a federal standard for
it. It's moving that way.
It's moving that way.
Mm-hmm. So what do we do with the building department? I mean, what are we inspecting as far as a plug-in? Is there a universal or something that goes into new homes? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a basic requirement now in the current building regulations to have that opportunity in your garage.
And then there's an adapter for different brands? Or?
I don't know those details.
Okay. Well,
I know specifically, I have a friend that he bought a BMW. No. Specifically, BMW provided the charging.
Oh, is it? Okay.
And I think Tesla's the same way. You got to get a Tesla charging.
Then a law enforcement question. I'm always amazed that, and it's not just in this county, but where I see these job positions, they seem to be located near where the homeless hang out. What's the crime associated with charging stations? Because people are kind of captive for almost an hour.
Yeah.
Is there any...
Somebody.
People ask me that all the time. This just isn't me. I get this question all the time from folks. You know, the charging stations don't appear to be very secure.
Yes. Sheriff LaRue. Regarding that, I mean, it's basic theft. It's that they would look at is what you're asking for.
No, I'm talking about confrontations with individuals. There's theft, but other violence associated with, you know, having to hang out in some of these areas for about an hour or so.
So there's
how,
no,
how safe is it?
Well, I guess it depends on where you are. There are confrontations. There's no specific code sections that pertain to, you know, charging station areas. It would just be the same thing if you parked in a parking lot.
No data on that.
Nothing that I'm aware of.
Okay. We haven't seen an uptick of reports.
Okay.
I walk down Chess all the time. I don't see a problem. People sitting there, they go to Puerto Vallarta or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Questions, Michael?
Just a quick question. I know this is 7 pages. Is it simplified as much as it can be?
Yes, they actually utilize a template from RCRC related to the ordinance, so I would assume lots of other rural counties have very similar formats, so it's the same template.
Okay, no worries.
Was it okay?
No.
So it's pressed?
No.
Okay, board's wishes.
And that's the recommended motion, correct?
Yes.
And how about we bring this back on the 11th of July? Otherwise, we'd have to wait till August.
Yep, yeah.
That works.
Okay.
You have a motion?
I'll second with the conditions that we please.
Yep.
All righty. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsett?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Thank you.
It's time to go into closed session.
Do we have a time specific to come back?
We normally do. It's
you
been
guys
so
are
abnormal
at least,
for us to do this.
It true. It's been about an hour typically. I'd say 1:30 is what we used to do.
Ms. Reed, how long do you think a closed session will take?
I'd like to say an hour.
Okay.
But it really is a board's discretion.
We'll be back at 1:30 like normal. That's normal processing.
As we've done before.